how you cover crypto. And I, you know, did a U-turn with regard to crypto, and I've learned a lot, and I just want to get my fiat out of the banking system and get it into private crypto. So thank you for pointing me in the right direction. And by the way, I want to launch a new initiative called Decentralized TV, and I'd like to know if you'd like to be my co-host. And I'm like, holy cow. And you know, he has a distinct voice, so I knew it was Mike Adams. And I'm like, you know, thank you. Absolutely. And then we discussed, well, let's take a first step. And he invited me and Max and Gene went out there, Yoga went out there to Austin. The purpose was for Max was going to be interviewed by him in studio. And it was all about Epic Cash.
Who's Max again for the audience?
Max is the founder of Epic Cash. His name is Wayne Garvey.
And we never knew that before tonight.
But his pseudo is Max Freeman.
Right.
So we met out there, and it was I think it was like the latter part of the first week of May that we were out there, and we met Mike for dinner, and then the next day we went into the studio, and it was just it was cool. At that point in time, the Epic Pay wallet was out. And we were really excited to share with Mike how fast it was to be able to send, you know, it was the latter part of April. We were excited to be able to send, transactions via Epic because, you know, whether it's BTC or even Monero, it takes minutes, if not a lot longer, for a transaction to go through. And with Epic Cash and the Epic Pay wallet, you literally, if both wallets are open, it's like almost instantaneous. And so when we got out there, we took a tour of the facility. It's just amazing. You know, the guy sells $100 million worth of quality food, right? Supplements, everything. Just an amazing business. He's an amazing man. He really is. And so we were in the studio, and I'm like, hey, let's do a transaction. And I said, you know, he actually offered. He had four gold eagles. So at the time they were about $2,200 a piece. And so I said, all right, how about let's do a peer-to-peer trade? I'll take your four gold eagles and I'll send you. At the time, Epic was $1.20. And so I sent him $1.20, basically $8,800 worth of Epic. And it happened like that. And those were the first Epic that he owned. And he was just like, wow, that's amazing. And he really got into the technology of Mimblewimble and everything about it. And I'm gonna pause that. Because there is additional chapter to that peer-to-peer transaction, but I want to stop and right there he was okay. Well, let's have Max on to be able to do the interview to talk about Epic Cash, and yeah. Max refused. He's like, I don't want to any longer. I'm not going to be a public face. I don't want to talk. What happened, and I'm just kind of giving you a little bit of the, not ending, but the middle. Okay. But Max started just spiraling really, really in the throes of major paranoia. He was thinking, I am the founder of this privacy project that is taking off, and he knew it was going to take off even more with Mike getting behind it. And he was just so fearful that the three-letter agencies were going to come and get him. And he literally had, you know, was starting to have a breakdown. And I empathize with that and always will. So I went and did the interview. It was Mike and me, and the interview went well. And then Mike afterwards, it went so well, he said, "Hey, look, I have an idea. Let's map out a show for BrightU.com, you know, Brighteon University." And he says, "Let's do a 7-day series." So it was scheduled to launch on like June 20th. Was when he had it plugged in, and it was going to be called The Power of Private Money, and it was going to be all about Epic Cash. I mean, every episode was about Epic Cash. So he was just all about it. I mean, it was like Monero, who it didn't matter. He was just sold on Epic Cash being superior money. So, and you know, the power of his platform. And so, you know, we were around $1.20 at that point in time. And then, we got back from that trip, and, Mike reached out to me and he said, "Hey, I reached out to Max and I really want to acquire a lot more Epic. I want to get a certain number of Epic." It was a fairly large amount. And yeah. I reached out to Max, and Max said that his network, he has over the counter network of people. And again, it was $1.20, and Mike said, "But you know, Max said that his network would only sell it at a premium of $2 per Epic."
What?
And yeah, and he goes, "You know, I'm a pretty smart guy. I can go into I can acquire it." And at that point in time, I'm like, I'm forward thinking. I have a lot of Epic, right? And so I'm like, Mike, no, I mean, let's do this smartly. If you go in and you start acquiring that much Epic, it's just going to ramp up the price. And when that happens, then what goes up comes down. I said, "Let me do this. I'll just do a peer-to-peer trade with you at $1.20. That's what the price is right now." And he said, "Cool." And so
was he afraid that if he put a big order in, it would just jack up the price? Is that what the fear was?
He didn't fear it. I feared it. I mean, because
you heard it. Okay.
It's so, you know, it's
thinly traded. So it's going to do that.
Thinly traded. And when I was acquiring Epic, I mean, remember when it went up to 675, a lot of that was because me and some other people were in there just buying it like crazy. So I learned from experience. And it's so I thought, no, but what I want Mike to have is a big bag of Epic, because then I knew he would be so much even more vested in it, right? And it's just natural. I wanted him to be excited about it. I wanted him to be a major holder. And so I let go of the Epic, and we had that trade. And I didn't know until later that Max's network was himself. He always said, "I'm never selling until it's $1,000, and I've never sold one Epic." Well, he didn't, but he has these pseudos. Later, we found out he had about 20 pseudos. One of them was John D. Rockefeller, and
that's a good one.
And yeah,
he's got a sense of humor,
right? And so I went to Max. I was all excited, thinking, "Hey, you know, we just got Mike Adams a big oar in the water." We used to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, "So, hey, I know you reached out to your network and it came back at a premium, but you know, he wasn't going to pay that. And so I just want to let you know that I took care of it at market at $1.20. And he went cold as ice.
Oh boy.
And what I realized later is he did that same thing to me when I first came in. I was looking, I had liquidated my whole life insurance policies, my IRAs, my everything. And so
he sold it to you privately.
He sold it to me privately when it was trading at 50 cents. He sold me a lot of Epic at $1. And what he did is he said, "Look, this John D. Rockefeller is a trusted a person. He's been around a long, long time, and he'll sell TBD, but it's at a premium. But look, if you buy into Veet, you would be the best trader in the world if you could get a basis under a dollar. So I recommend you take it. Well, what I didn't realize is, you know, his sock puppet, you know, John D., that's how he was generating income, his own operating income, is doing OTC trades like that. So what I did when I serviced Mike is, in his mind, I took money off the table for him, right? I screwed up because he was thinking he could just do the same thing that he did with me, with Mike. But Mike was like, no, I can figure this out, you know?
Mike was savvier.
Yeah, and so that's number one, okay? Just chalk that up to Todd, you know, on Max's shit list because of that peer-to-peer trade, okay? Now, that's one. Now, two, what happened was mid-May, it was 5:15. I'll never forget it because that was the day that Max had committed to be interviewed by Leah Heilpern down in Miami.
Right, the Bitcoin girl.
And he said, what he said with Mike is, no, I'm not doing this. You know, the paranoia kicking in, right? He's not going to do this. So here we are, you know, we had paid her $8,800. It was community raised to be able to have him interview. That, you know, that's her business model. You pay her to interview you.
Wow, that's a good... Hold on a sec. Did you send the $10,000 for this interview? I didn't get it.
Exactly.
Wow. So, pay to play, huh? Pay to play interview.
So Max refused to go. And so I live in Tampa. She's in Miami. And I'm like, got to do it. So I drove down there. And I, you know, I'm not Max, man. I don't have a supercomputer for a brain.
Yeah. But
I held my own, and she later published it. And
is that? I never saw that.
Yeah, it's on her channel, Leah Howe.
She on YouTube?
On YouTube, yep.
I stopped paying attention to all this when you dropped out, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so I mean...
Leah Heilpern.
And then you do Epic Cash or, you know, Uncle... You do Epic Cash, you'll find it, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, I think I held my own, did a pretty good job. Yep, that's it. And
oh, she's kind of cute.
Yeah, she's very pretty.
Were you there in the flesh?
Yeah.
There you are.
There you go.
What's that hand sign there? Hold on a sec.
I don't know. I must be.
Well, you got 7,100 views. That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. So
thumbs up.
I think I held my own there, right? And that was 5:15, May 15th. Now, that was the same time that Max had a meltdown in the community, Epic Cash community group. Oh. I mean, literally, he had 1,000 messages that day to where people were like, is he okay? I mean, it was so weird and crazy and whatnot. But then the next day, it was all about this Astra raise. He wanted to raise money from the community, $465,000, to be able to fund some token that would be meaningful to the future of Epic Cash. You know, we had those subway stops, right? Which are the fictitious, you know, we'll develop this and that and this, and you'll be able to take a loan from yourself. Everything that is just all woo-woo futuristic, you know, bullshit, frankly. So he came into the community and he, like, you talk about, you know, beating the couch cushions, you know, for pennies and dimes. He hit the whole community up and he had people sending $20,000, $10,000, whatever. And then as it started getting towards Friday, he was just so manic on that fundraise. And I'm like, what the fuck does this have to do with Epic Cash? It doesn't. And then what started to happen, we were trading at $1.20. We started going to $1.10, $1. People were donating their Epic Cash. And so they would send it to the quote unquote treasurer, right? Per Max's instructions. And he was liquidating it, which was putting downward pressure on the price of Epic to be able to send it to these Astra people, right? There was no contract. There was no agreement. There was nothing except Max saying, trust me on this. And the community rallied, and they were so used to these community raises thinking that it's all going to be great. And then Max was hitting people up with private DMs saying, hey, I'll guarantee that I'll double your money in 6 weeks. I need everything you got, blah, blah, blah. It was just such a shakedown. And I got pissed off. I started seeing the price of Epic going down, and I'm not stupid. And so we have it's a leadership meeting every Friday at 11:30. Okay. And it's called the 06 group. And it was the treasurer. And then there were four other people on there. Max wasn't on there. And I went to Enrique and I said, Enrique, I said, do me a favor, because we had raised money for CoinStore, Change Now, and Guardarian. And Max was, I started seeing some things, you know, happening in the wallets and such. And I'm like, please, Enrique, tell me that my spider instincts are wrong. Please tell me that Max has not directed you to liquidate any of the community raised funds to be able to fund this Astra nonsense. And he said, well, you know, he's gonna make those whole. So the answer was yes. I'm like, the answer is yes. And he had a meltdown. And I said, look, people go to jail for this kind of shit. I said, you reach out to Max now and you say he needs to replenish every freaking dollar or Epic from those community raised funds. Those are earmarked for CoinStore, for Change Now, for Guardarian. How dare you? And so he reached out to Max, and then Max blew a nut because he was like, how dare he tell, you know, the emperor he has no clothes. So here I am sitting there just wanting to be hyper protective of the community, the raised funds, right? Yeah. And I'm like, called bullshit on it.
I think I donated a bit to that.
I think I did too. Yeah.
It was called something else, wasn't it? It sounded like Epic, but what was the name of it? I forget.
I don't know, but
it was a promotional amount. It was a promotional token you told me that was going to be exchanged later.
I don't know. I can't remember. Just to continue. So that was strike two, right?
Yeah. Oh,
now then I get a message from Max telling me, hey, I want all of my shit down off your YouTube channel. Anything that has to do with me, take that shit down. I want it deleted. And I'm like,
oh boy,
you're talking about 3 years of my life. You were in like 90%+ of those. I said, I'm not going to take those down. Are you kidding me? And so then his wife calls me and is like, hey, it's worth 100,000 Epic to us. You know, just take it down, because Max is really concerned that he doesn't want to have his voice out there because the three-letter agencies can take that and then take his voice print and blah, 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 all of this crazy, manic, nutty stuff. And I'm like, I said, no. So that's strike three. Okay. So then the next week, all of a sudden, you know, there's this hit piece on Mike Adams and me that Max wrote and distributed, accusing us of all kinds of shit, of illegal over-the-counter trading, our peer-to-peer trade that I told you about, you know, peer-to-peer trade. Look, if you give me gold and I give you Epic, that's legal peer-to-peer trade. If you give me fiat and I give you Epic, that's peer-to-peer trade. That's kind of what Epic Cash is all about, right? That's a use case.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, but Max created this hit piece that he distributed to like 24 people. And I ended up getting it from somebody. And then Mike got it. Mike reached out to me. Now, understand, we had the first two episodes of Epic Private Money, first two of the seven, in the bag. They were beautiful and brilliant. So Mike's just yippee-skippy thinking, oh, this is amazing. I love Epic, and this is so good. And, you know, and I'm knowing that with Mike behind this and us doing this for Bright U, this is like going to turbocharge Epic. We're going to blow past all-time highs. This is just amazing. But there kept being this downward pressure on Epic because of that stupid freaking Astra raise that still nobody knows what happened to that money or what it's really for. And the people who invested a lot of money, you know, got harmed and, you know, so when that happened, Mike Adams called me and he said, you know what, this is just all, have you read this? This is all kinds of wrong. This is just defamation and libel, and it's all lies. And how dare he, and what got into him? And I'm like, I know, Mike, this is just obscene. He was threatening to be a whistleblower and report us to the SEC and everything. And he was painting us to be these evil dudes that
was all the things he's afraid of.
Yes. Again, he was just
projecting.
He's totally projecting. And it was that he's wanting to blame us on what he was doing.
Right.
So that it's kind of like, if he could beat someone to the punch, you know, he could hide behind whistleblower status or something like that. I have no idea. It was just insane. Oh, and at the same time, he came to me like he did the rest of the community, and he had this that same week of the Astra raise. This was weird. He came and he's like, hey, Uncle V, I have a BSD hedge fund manager that wants to get a huge position with Epic. Name your price. How would you let go of 100,000 Epic at $10? And I did math. I did the calculus, and I'm like, you know what? That would get all my money back. I'm like, yeah, I would do that. I would do that. And he goes, okay, good. I have you down for that. Then the next day, he reaches out to me and he says, hey, he wants a bigger position than that. What would it take for the rest of your bag, the whole thing? And I said, Max. I said, I believe you that we're going to flip in Bitcoin one day. Why would I ever do that? I said, no, I'm not going to get rid of my whole bag. And he goes, well, name a number for 250,000 Epic total. Just give me a number. And so I'm sitting here. I said, all right, Max, hold on. And I did the calculus, and I think I came back with, whatever it was, 37.5 million dollars divided by $250,000 or 250,000 Epic. I think it came down to like $140. So I just threw it out there, just tongue in cheek. Like I said, okay, Max, I'll let go of 250,000 Epic for $140 each. He goes, no, man, that's just ridiculous. You got to do better than that. You got to do better. That's just totally ridiculous. I said, sorry, Max. I believe you. We're going to flip in Bitcoin. So with that as a data point, in that hit piece, he accused me not blackmail.
Shake down?
Yeah, shaking him down for $37.5 million. He comes to me and throws out this stupid, you know, and he went to so many other people in the community. They were all thinking he was going to deliver the $10 for however many Epic that they pledged, right? Yeah. And of course, he never did because it was all bullshit. And so I'm going to give a shout out right now to Marcus, Dave J, and JLB, because way in the beginning, all three of them at one point in time approached me, or through you or whatever. And they were saying, look, have you researched this guy? And I was just like, you know, the three monkeys, man. I plug in my ears.
Well, I think Dave J put most of his research in the Fakeologist Gilded server, which is at fake11.com/gilded. And I don't even go in there very much anymore because Discord's been pretty good. It's sort of our backup. But I'll open it up now and see what Dave J said if you want.
Well, I mean, you can do that later. Let me just continue.
I'm just letting people know. I just
want to give a shout out that they you know, did the research on him, and I knew that there was some shit on Max in histrionically, but I had dealt with him for 2.5 years, 3 years.
Now you figured you knew him.
And yeah, I felt like I knew him like a brother. I mean,
you guys were freaking frack, for God's sakes.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I respect all of the education he provided, and he's a really super smart guy, but the guy just broke, and I can have some compassion for that, you know, yeah. But a lot of harm was done to the community, you know? I mean, with that meltdown and what happened subsequently with Hitpiece and everything, Epic now is trading like at 30 cents. Do you know, that's probably $25, $30 million of market cap that he wiped out. Yeah. When you think about the alternative, if that never would have happened and Mike and I would have continued to do our things and Epic would have been the only crypto integrated within Mike's, you know, kingdom over there, I submit that we would be, you know, not just beyond our all-time highs, but probably some ridiculous amount, $50, $100. I really do believe that with all my heart.
Yeah. But so basically, Mike Adams put everything on hold when he saw this.
Yeah.
This,
yeah. Uh-huh. And when he saw the Hitpiece, he says, I'm stopping everything Epic.
Okay.
And he did. And he would not say the words Epic, you know, and he told me. And so he and I, we lawyered up. We shared a joint counsel, and we went after Max for defamation and libel. And long story tolerable, we got a full retraction from him. But you know, a retraction is one thing because that is what, you know, is needed for reputational damage, right? If somebody ever comes and says, you were part of Epic Cash or whatever, you know, we could show that and explain the story or whatever. But more than that, it was that with Max involved with Epic Cash, there is no way that Mike nor I could ever positively cover Epic Cash again because of the reputational risk. Now, my reputation is nothing compared to Mike's, right? He has such a massive following that when he talks, he's like E.F. Hutton. People listen. So if he talks positively about a project, you know, people are going to listen. They're going to migrate to it. They're going to acquire it or buy it or whatever, or consider it. And so he had to totally stop saying anything about Epic Cash, and it broke my heart. It really broke my heart. You know, it made me angry. I mean, having to cough up thousands of dollars for an attorney for just all this bullshit. And so, and at the same time, here's the other kicker. He reached out to my boss of 25 years, and he... Whoa. No less than made three attempts to get me fired. Wow. Now I have been there for 25 years. We have had cutbacks. We have had layoffs, downsizing, probably 8 different times in my 25 years. I survived all of them. Coincidentally, this last time I didn't. Now, I know from somebody who is in the know internally that, yeah, the founders of the company just got tired of the shit. They, you know, because Max threw all the same lies about me. So that's another thing. It's like, you know, I lost my job this summer. Wow. And so you talk about me being bitter, and it's taken me this long to be able to say this publicly because I believe in Epic Cash Tech, and I was playing long ball, which was, okay, Mike Adams, what would it take for you to consider reconnecting, you know, with the Epic Cash community? You love the Epic Cash Tech. He dearly loves the Epic Cash Tech, Mimblewimble and everything about it. You know, what would it take? And he said, well, Max can't be part of the project and Max can't control the DevTax wallet. So again, long story tolerable, I, you know, put that out into the universe and tried to exert my, whatever influence I had left to be able to, you know, expose the bullshit and be able to apply the right kind of pressure. And he ended up exiting the project to where he's no longer part of it. And he did give up the DevTax wallet. And he should be concerned from a legal standpoint because he harmed a lot of people with this Astra race. So, you know, accountability is a bitch. And at some point in time, I believe he will be held accountable. But that's for people that were directly harmed, and there are people who are pursuing different legal actions. But in the meantime, you know, we were satisfied that he is not part of the project, and a lot of the people who remain, you know, were also harmed. And so, you know, he's not welcome. So he can't weasel his way back in the other way because people are like, man, what a con artist, you know? And so, so that's where that is. And so when we felt comfortable that he was in the rearview mirror and couldn't, you know, harm the project further, that's when we made the decision that we wanted to get Gene on the show. And we did. And I'm glad we did. And I'm going to fire up my live streams again on Friday when I can. Yeah. You know, that income replacement thing is a bitch. So I've been working my ass off on other initiatives to try to be able to, you know, make do. So I don't know if I can commit every Friday, but this Friday I'm going to have Sky King on, and we're going to talk about a point of sale at retail initiative that is super exciting. And again, a game changer in all of crypto. So we are at 30 cents right now. And I believe that, you know, I believe that's going to be deemed an all-time low, you know, certainly since mid-May. Because now everything that could have gotten in the way of progress is in the rearview mirror. So I'm bullish on Epic Cash, and I know others are as well. Mike Adams is, if you listen to the interview with Gene. So yeah, man, you got the exclusive.
Nice.
That's it, everybody. It's like, I am so sorry for the community. I'm sorry for our market cap. I'm sorry for the setback. But as we discussed with Gene on the interview, he was part of Monero, and they went through some shit at Monero from a community standpoint. They ousted their founder, and you know what? They're doing just fine now. So we'll get through all of this, and shout out to all of the people within Epic who did dismiss the noise and just kept working on the tech and working on things that matter. I look forward to unpacking all of that as we proceed. But you know, man, it's sucked. I mean, this really sucked because, you know, I put 3+ years of my life into this, and to have, you know, a single person totally just I don't know. He just lost it. And you know,
so how is he out of the project now? Because you said something about DevTax. Most people don't know what that is.
So when they launched the project, when people mine Epic Cash, in the beginning, 8.8% of what was mined went to this DevTax wallet, and that was used by Max for whatever Max wanted to use it for.
What's it supposed to go for?
Tech. you know,
for to reinvest in the technology to keep it getting better and better. But he used it as a slush fund.
That's right. That's right.
So were you aware there was a, he was in complete control of that DevTech wallet? Were you aware at the beginning?
I didn't know that it was just him. I just, I'm new to crypto. I don't know all the questions to ask, right?
Yeah, of course.
I'm a lot more experienced now. So if I did another run with a different project or whatever, I would be smarter, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't know what I didn't know.
But did some of the other guys that were in the tech aspect of it, did you know what that was?
But at that point in time, I mean, up until mid-May, I never questioned anything that happened historically, because the project seemed to be on the rails and lots of, I mean, Max was brilliant about laying out a vision, you know, those subway stops and all of those logos that you saw and everything. It all made brilliant sense, you know.
Now, are we saying that the technology is still sound, even though the founder, Max, he invented it and then he went squirrely for whatever reason? We don't really know why.
He founded the project, and there's a whole lot of, like, Todd Lewis, the chief engineer, there's a whole lot of developers that were participated in this, but Max definitely led it. So, you know, he wrote the white paper, and I still believe in Epic Cash, the tech. Right. I had a problem with the leadership, and
because promotion shut down, you are the number one promoter, no doubt, hands down.
Look,
because you went quiet and because everyone was just waiting for you to say something, everything went frozen for at least 6 months.
Yeah. Look, it's not only that. It's not just my lack of coverage or, you know, going silent on it. It was the fact that I was very vocal about being pissed off about several things, you know, the Astra raise and everything. So it was not just me being silent. It was me being vocal, and that scared a lot of people. Right. And then then a lot of people felt like they had to take sides, right? There's the Max sycophants that are out there that were just, Max could do no wrong. He walks on water. So it has to be something about me. And
So people took sides right away. They weren't back to personalities. They weren't even paying attention to the fundamentals of the technology.
Exactly. But you know what? I will forever be able to look myself in the mirror and say, you know, what triggered me was that Friday 06 call when I asked Enrique, please tell me that Max hasn't directed you to sell any of the community raised funds and send it to Astra. Well, he's going to pay it back, you know, so
that was for his thing that was supposed to enhance marketing or something for Epic
in the future, a subway stop down the road when we need, it breaks my brain to even think about how stupid it was and how everybody,
you know, how much money that was.
$465,000 was raised.
Oh, okay.
And sent. That's a half a million freaking dollars that poof is gone. Nobody knows where it is, and there's been no accounting for it. And, you know, I mean, it's so
everyone that was given some kind of token for that money's gone.
But nobody got the tokens. Nobody got shit. Nobody got anything. Nothing. No communication. Nothing. It's vapor. So that's why they're, and by the way, I want to share with people that when all of this happened, I launched t.me/epic private money. And I wanted to do that to create a Telegram group that was not Epic Cash community, because all of the sycophants that were in there were just, you know, they were just there with ban hammers that if anybody said anything negative about Epic or Max or anything, they would just get banned. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll do a community fork here. I'll open mine and whoever wants to come over. And we had like 500 people right away, you know, that are in the group. And it's turned out to be a really great group. So even though there's Epic Cash Community Maine, and people should still, you know, join that, visit that, t.me/EpicCash. Mine, Epic Cash Private, or Epic Private Money. It's not just about Epic Cash. It's about private money. So Epic is an adjective, you know, Epic Private Money. I'm all about private money. And we have a lot of different,
I'll put that in the show notes there.
Yeah, a lot of different topics in there now. And I'm really happy with the group. And basically everyone who's banned from Epic Cash found a home there. To Gene's credit and other people that are in the core leadership group over there, there's, you know, they were harmed too. So I do have to say, while it took a while, I think almost to a person, people have conceded that, boy, that was a shit storm. Wish it never happened, but it did. And, you know, let's take a deep breath and move on. And, you know, that's where we're at. So I am marching forward, feeling very, very positive. I'm you know, very sorry for all of the drama. I certainly haven't enjoyed it at all.
But let's be clear, no Epic Cash was stolen. Everyone still has their wallet. Be no confusion on that.
Anything, it was voluntarily sent.
Right. That was the promotion fund that
of Max. So he is ultimately accountable for, you know, his promises. And, you know, there's a lot of smart people in Epic. So when he had his meltdown, his 1,000 post day, where he laid everything out, that's all backed up. I mean, every single one of those. So as the person who did it says, we have the receipts, you know, and I got Mike and I got our retraction. And, but you know, at the end of the day, it's like, from a personal standpoint,
anything, this made the whole thing stronger because you held the guy, the founder, to account, and and you basically flushed that all out.
Yes.
And it doesn't change any of the integrity of the project, which is the main thing. I didn't sell even one. I just basically let everything stay frozen in my mind because you're the number one mouthpiece on this. So if I haven't heard from you, I just let it sit.
Yeah. But you know what? I got to tell you, and I really did think about this a lot, you know, because I listen to you all the time your guests and everything. And I really did. It's just like, I'm like, damn, the conspiracy community strikes again. They were right. Again, Marcus, Dave J, JLB. It's like,
They weren't really right about Epic, though, in that sense. Okay, you had one guy, the leader, the founder, which is fine, who had some emotional mental problems, and he created a slush fund.
Yep.
And then he created another slush fund to do something else. So he just misrepresented that slush fund, the second one, I mean. It hasn't changed the fundamentals, which I think those guys may have been ragging on. I won't speak for them, about cryptocurrency and private cryptocurrency. It really hasn't. They're really maybe speaking out suspiciously about that.
Yeah,
that's really not what this is about at all.
It isn't. And, you know, hey, who knows? Maybe one day we look back and say they were right about that, too. I don't know.
I don't think so. No,
I know.
I still believe in the concept of Epic Cash and private crypto, sure.
I hope people go watch that Leia Halpern interview because I made the case, and I think I did it really well. You know what sucks is I prepped so hard for that, and it was just all positive, and it was just that energy that I had at that point in time and the energy that Mike had, and all of that was just shot in the head. You know,
you were preoccupied, obviously. I didn't watch it. I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah.
Honest. A lot of these.
By the way, I read something today that you guys have all probably heard this 1,000 times, but I never had. But I love it. Conspiracy theory is just another term for what actually happened. I thought that was great.
Yeah. I don't really follow those little sayings and whatnot. We're sophisticated conspiracy realists here. So whatever the mainstream media comes up with these silly tropes or memes, I don't really pay attention.
But I think that's true. I mean, they throw away conspiracy theorists and all of that. And I think it's a great retort. Oh, yeah. Conspiracy theory is just another term for what actually happened. I think that's it's not trite. It's.
Oh, you like it, eh? Okay, that's fine.
I love it. Yeah. But I see JLB's in the chat. Dave's in the.
Do you want to read some of the chat and address the chat? You can. You're welcome to.
Well, I can't control what I see.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you can see as a guest. I don't know if you have the chat.
That's fine. We don't need to go through it, but I just want them to who are in there, you know, please.
But they were doubting Thomas is about crypto. That's not what happened.
But also they you know sent some links and everything about Max. And the reason why I say that now is I made Max's shit list because another thing that he did in addition to his hit piece is he published his enemies list. And it was all of these people histrionically, he has kept track of all the people that have wronged him. And when you read exactly how they were wronged or he was wronged, it just hit me because of the way he smeared me is where I thought I believed him saying that all of these people fucked him. I'm like, no, Max screwed them and is projecting and he's just putting together this list.
Uh-huh. Is he an evil genius, would you say?
You know what I did? I started researching the term sociopath. Somebody said he's a sociopath. Right. And then I was like, well, what's the difference between sociopath and psychopath? So I researched that. And then I found this wonderful, beautiful side-by-side description, psychopath, sociopath. And I read all of the attributes. And when you put them all together, that's Max. And so I titled that Maxiopath. And I sent that to Mike Adams. And we literally were going to have the expert on sociopaths. She wrote a book. We were going to have her on our show. Never worked out. But it was The Sociopath Next Door. And I got that book and I read it. And it was like, holy shit. Because sociopaths, they are very, very smart. Very smart and very,
oh, very smart. Yeah, for sure. Hey, let me address Maddie33. Is this stream only about crypto, no conspiracies? Well, actually, you know, my show has been pretty centric towards COVIDs and 9/11 because we had a new fakery guy come on the scene. But we were talking once a week back in the day when Epic Cash got going with Uncle Vigilante about crypto. So we did have once a week show on that because I thought it was an important topic. And I know it wasn't necessarily fakeology related, but I'm interested in many things, and one of them is investing in crypto because it still is a hot thing in people's mind. So
they'll be enjoying their own kind of crypto when the CBDCs hit, and they can.
Well, most people are going to be forced into it anyway.
I know. But you know, this is funny. It's just like, is this stream only about conspiracies? I haven't been on about crypto. I haven't been on forever. And we're talking about something that you know, people have been wondering for a long time, and it's on Ab's show exclusively. And so if you have an issue with it, you know, get over it. And Mike Adams, controlled op, he's not. I know the guy so well now. He's one of the best human beings you'll ever meet. So this is where it's so lazy for some people to be able to just go and sniper fire an ankle bite. I reject it. So you don't know shit, you know, who the dude who says he's controlled op. So I reject it. So you know, look, here's the thing. Ab, you know, I wanted to share it on your show. I did. I don't want to get sucked into all the bullshit in the comments. I'm feeling pretty good about the day. And I think we're about done here.
Well, don't get all upset about comments, because they're the harshest critics around for anything and everything. So,
but I don't need them to try to.
Yeah, but
I'm just not.
No, I know, but they need to understand what's going on. I understand what's going on. It really has nothing to do with Epic Cash and Epic Tech. And really, I wouldn't get bogged down on just a few.
It's been an hour and I'm tired and I'm reading these comments. I'm like, fuck this. Let's move on. You know,
all right. What's next for Epic Cash? You're going to start doing shows again.
Yeah.
You're going to start pushing and talking about the technology.
Well, not just talking about it. We've got, there are some really, like I said, on tune in Friday. And if people search Uncle Vigilante, you can subscribe to the channel, but it's called Decentralized Directory now. And by the way, put in the show notes, decentralizeddirectory.com. I founded that site, and that is what I do to help people achieve a decentralized lifestyle. And especially if you are in the U.S., you should go to the key partners supporting decentralization and click on the tax saving strategy once you get in there and you explore.
Yeah.
Do you
want to take a question from John LeBon?
Sure.
All right, he's here. He's here in the studio now. John LeBon, say hi to Uncle Todd.
Hey, Johnny.
Turn on your mic. Unmute. Now we got PTL media spamming the chat as well. So, you know, if they don't understand, they don't understand. I understand it. So, John LeBon, do you have something to say? You're in the studio now.
Hey, Johnny.
Well, maybe he hasn't got his tech.
Yeah.
He's unmuted, but... No, I think it's important. And has Max responded in any way publicly on what's going on? Does he have his side of the story that you know of?
Max is, from what I hear, is basically, look, I'll keep, he dude's having a breakdown. I mean,
okay. He's not well.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
So again, I can empathize with that, and whether it's mental illness or whatnot, but a lot of harm happened, and you know, accountability.
Is Mike going to reintegrate Epic Cash as planned into his site to accept payments for his product?
I think what we talk about on Friday will make that much easier. And then the only issue with Epic Cash or Mimblewimble is that for it to happen without any centralization, the two parties need their wallets open. And so per the interview we did with Gene, Epic is working on non-interactive transactions, which will be a game changer. So won't happen overnight, but the...
Yes. Uncle V, you still there? Okay. Uncle V, I can't hear Uncle V now. But John LeBon keeps coming in and out. John LeBon, can you hear me?
Period.
Oh, wait. There's Uncle V.
Uncle V?
Hello? Yes, sorry, you drifted away there, so go ahead.
Oh, I can't remember what I was saying. Anyway.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there's Johnny. Hey, John.
Yeah, sorry about those tech issues. I had to change to a different browser. Anyway, good to see you, Uncle Epic. Thank you for taking the call. I'm glad you're finally back. And this story is quite remarkable.
Thank you.
Pardon me. I'm blown away by what you're saying. Like, this is really quite a remarkable story, what you're telling us all right now. But there's one thing I didn't quite understand.
Okay.
Does Max Freeman still have a lot of his Epic coins or not?
From what I understand, he has... been part of the, I'm not going to say cratering of Epic, but he's been liquidating, and so he doesn't have as much as he used to. So,
but because it's a private coin, there's no way to know, is there? He could still have a million of these things.
Yeah, no way to know. But I just have that from a trusted party who would know. And so I think,
how would they know?
I think part of the Astros and everything and the OTC, you know, with John D. Rockefeller and all of that is that, you know, Max needs income. And so now that his gravy train has dried up,
his gig is up. Yeah.
The gig is up. I think he's liquidating, you know, his Epic. So at some point in time, good question. I don't know, John, and,
but nobody knows. Nobody can know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole point of Epic Cash.
But, he doesn't have as much as he used to. That's what I understand. So,
but he could and still have
not,
a million of these.
And he's not collecting the dev tax fund for himself. So no. Someone else is administering that, or is the dev tax gone completely?
Dev tax goes to Diego Salazar, who created the Epic Pay wallet, and you know, Max's promises to be able to remunerate him for his efforts, which didn't happen. The community decided that he would be the right guy to receive those. So he, and it's not much. It's like, because it's only 2.2% now. You know, it went from 8.8 down by 2% every year, and so it's 2.2%. So it's nothing, but it does go to Diego. He scrapes it every day, and that goes towards you know, paying for Epic Pay wallet development, continued development, which is really, really important to the project.
Okay, John LeBon, you have something else?
Well, just, I don't mean to belabor the point, but if you don't know how many coins Max has, then he's not really divested from the project. He could still be the guy making the most money. So if it does go to $10 or $100, it could still be Max that's profiting the most. And also has the most power to dump the price at any point if he wants to, in theory. And there's no way for us to know. And I should say, for listeners, I've got a vested interest in this. My nest egg is in Epic Coins. I have more than 500 of these things. And at one point, they were worth over $700. This is my nest egg. I don't have much money, but I didn't sell. I held. And now my nest egg is really, it's atrocious. It wouldn't even buy me a pack of cigarettes in Australia. So I've lost a lot in all of this.
You haven't lost anything unless you sell it, John. That's how investing works.
And John, you didn't buy them.
No, I didn't buy them, and I also didn't sell them because some of the people you sent these coins to sold them immediately, but I didn't.
No, I know.
I did the right thing. I held on to them.
Yes, you did.
And now my nest egg is destroyed. I'm a broken man.
If mid-May never happened and the meltdown never happened, wouldn't you be really delighted if Mike and I did what we were doing and the trajectory was north and we were at $50 now per Epic or $100? You know, it could have gone that way. It should have gone that way. So we're at a point right now to where, look, let the healing begin and let, you know, sanity prevail. And it's time to get back to work. That's my point of view.
Because you met Max Freeman, so you met him in person, you had a good relationship with him, and it turns out you couldn't trust him in the end. How do you know these other people who are still involved in the project aren't just Max Freeman 2.0?
I sleep with one eye open. I'm very cautious with everything, but there are some amazingly good people. Look, who would have known? I didn't know, but I'm not going to paint everyone with the Maxiopath brush because that would be unfair. I mean, it would be so easy for people to smear me for being, you know, on the microphone with Max Freeman for 3 years. You know, I know I'm not Max Freeman or I'm not party to any of that nonsense. I guess I've always been a trusting soul, but you know, bottom line is I think we did the right thing, John. I think I personally feel fine about how things played out. I wish it could have played out quicker, but it didn't. But you know, I bit my tongue until this point in time, until I know that that he's out of the project and gave up the dev tax wallet and that we can feel good about covering Epic Cash again without, you know, any kind of reputational risk if other people come into the project for all the positive attributes of it.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the call. Final question, then I'll get sure. I'll leave you guys to it. And thank you again. I really do appreciate it. You don't take calls often, so this is like a privilege. Last one. When Max, because you were very upset about what happened with Jeff Berwick, and you were saying that you don't trust anybody anymore, and you're doing the live streams,
yeah.
And you had your gavel, and you were like Judge, like you were like Uncle Judge, dude, shit, right? Judge. And then yeah, that's the one. And then Max called in,
yeah.
And explained to you his project,
yep.
And the story that you told me on the conversations that we had some time ago was that.
Yep.
Within 15 minutes or something, you were convinced this guy was the real deal. So my question for you is, looking back now,
yeah.
Do you think he called you with the intention of doing something like this? Or do you think he called you with the purest of intentions and somehow along the lines it all just fell apart? But when he contacted you,
yeah, I think
he really meant well and none of this was meant to happen.
Purest of intentions. I really felt great about the relationship. I learned a ton from him over the 3 years. I really think at the end, he just, because you have to understand, there were a lot of project leaders that were getting arrested and disappeared.
You which know? Ones? I've never heard of that.
Somebody smarter than me will be able to tell you, but there were like three of them that were either arrested or they were murdered. There was the Cash App, the head of the founder of Cash App was,
which we think that was a hoax.
Could be, I don't know. But you know, when you're a founder and you're hearing all of this, hoax or not,
yeah,
I can.
Well, you think that scared him? Huh? It spooked him.
Scared him. I know it did because he had that meltdown, and his wife told me that he is a mess. I have the receipts. I have screenshots of my conversations with his wife. Yeah. Where she's okay. Talking to me about how he is now just this paranoid human being that he's lost his love for life because he's so paranoid that, you know, he's going to walk outside and be kidnapped. And so he was living in that kind of hell. And
I don't see how, but just going forward now, because you're the chief spokesman, how would you even have that paranoia? Because the genie's out of the bottle. The technology is out for everyone to see and use. And anyone could just start an Epic Cash clone tomorrow. That's the whole nature of the technology. You could start Vigilante Cash on the same technology, could you not?
Look, why do certain people suffer mental illness? You can't. It's not rational. It's irrational by default, right?
Okay, so, but is that not the nature of the technology, though, that anyone can fork it, make it better? And
of course.
You could start Vigilante Cash tomorrow based on the platform.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of people that wanted me to lead a fork,
yeah.
And I'm not interested. You know, it's like I don't have the bandwidth, the intelligence.
You have the capability to put those people together.
I could. That takes a lot of energy and effort, and it would be basically entirely turning my back on Epic Cash and the community. And you know what? I don't paint the community with the Max.
Do you think it's better to sell just to keep this project going because there's nothing wrong with the project?
Yeah,
it just had a hiccup because the main guy.
Forks historically fail. Yeah. Forks historically fail in crypto. So, it's a bad idea. So
there's nothing wrong with the project.
No.
At all. Okay, that's the main thing we have to promote in this call because people get many things confused, but the technology is sound. And look,
the only Epic that I have ever sold was peer-to-peer with Mike Adams that I described earlier because I wanted him to have an oar in the water. That's it. I sold it to him at market price. That's the only Epic I've ever sold. So if I had any issues with this over the last 6 months, don't you think I would have been dumping? I never turned my back on the project or the tech. It was the leadership.
Yeah.
End of story.
And just so everyone knows, nothing on this show is to advise people about how to invest their money.
No.
We're talking about tech. We're talking about crypto. And you have to consult your own investment advisor, whether it's yourself, your wife, or someone professional, on whether this is the right thing for you. But I am promoting this as the idea that I'm promoting the idea more than anything, that it is another way to transact across the world privately. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Investing in currency is always risky, including the US dollar, the Canadian dollar, the Swiss franc. There are traders that big time traders, big time institutions that trade currencies. This is a cryptocurrency. It's like a penny stock. And most people do not invest in penny stocks.
You know,
if I want to send Todd $50, this is a very smooth way of doing it. If we have no other way of communicating, just like if I want to send $50 to Nigeria, there are only a couple ways to easily do that. Western Union takes a big cut. PayPal takes a cut. So this is just another private way to do it. This is what it is.
So exactly.
We're not here to build a big corporation or a big investment corporation. No,
and people need to know that moving value
is
really hard. It's easy publicly, but moving value privately is really, really hard, especially large amounts. So the holy grail is to be able to create a project to where you can move value globally, privately, unrestricted. And that is the end game for Epic Cash. And I'm so excited to be able to work on that end game without the distractions of all of these other bus stops. We never needed any of this other stuff. It's like we have the holy grail right in our hands. Bitcoin was just fine not having 20 subway stops, right? We are technologically better than Bitcoin. You know, we're Bitcoin, but private.
There we go. All right. Well, thank you so much, Uncle Epic. Thanks for explaining it. Will you be coming back on the show, or are we going to get a more regular rotation in the new year, or are we just going to stick to your show and my show separate?
Let me be a periodic guest. How about that?
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Because you still are the sponsor of FakoTube, FakoTube.com. That's where all the videos are hosted.
Yes.
And sir, I still take Epic Cash.
That's awesome.
Fakeologist.com/donate. We never stop, but you are the main guy that knew how to do it. But it's not hard. The Epic Pay wallet, you can download it, and then you take the wallet, load it up, and scan this, and you can send micro fractions of money and value at almost no fee whatsoever. If anything, I don't even know what it could be at this time, but it's very tiny, if anything.
It's nothing.
All right. Thank you, Uncle V. Uncle Epic. Appreciate it.
All right, my friend. Thanks, everybody. Have a good one. Happy holidays. Cheers.
All right. Good night. Merry Christmas, sir. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All right. There goes Uncle T, Uncle P, Uncle V, Uncle E. And there goes us. We did get some donations, which we're extremely grateful for, in the old-fashioned U.S. dollar variety. I want to thank Christine W. for dropping $34.19 into the till. And, of course, Ian D. from, I believe he's from Australia, $104.42. And Suzanne M., $34.67. That's value for value. I really appreciate all you guys for the contributions to keep FakoTube up. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to do a vaccine injury show once a week as well. That's not really media fakery. I really want to give a voice to what I think is a pretty big problem going on in certain areas of the world. I don't know if it's going on exactly in Canada or Toronto where I live, but I do think it's happening. And I got an email today from a listener who says, yeah, it's happening in their family. So even if these people are mistaken that it's the vaccine, which I doubt, I still want people to have a place to vent. So I'm thinking of doing that once a week, and I'm making an arrangement to start it up next week with one of my listeners, Awake Cupcake. Person's name, male or female, I do not know, is Awake Cupcake. So that person might start off the broadcast next week. I'm not sure what day it will be. Maybe Mondays. But if you're looking for Media Fakery, we're not going to be focusing on Media Fakery. We're going to be talking about vaccines and the vaccine deception, because I still post a lot of stuff on vaccine on fakeologist.blog, and because I think it's one of the biggest deceptions of all. But I'm also thinking of starting up another separate blog, and I have a domain called allshotsclot.com that's not really pointing anywhere right now, allshotsclot. And I'm thinking of starting up a separate space just to put the vaccine stuff, because this is not going away, in case you didn't notice. This is year four, and I really want a place for people to talk about it. And even if we're totally off, which I don't think we are, at least people will get a chance to vent about it. So we'll do about an hour a week maybe on that. That's the goal. And I'm pretty sure as the word spreads, it'll get pretty busy, because I have my own stories, and I think there are still people getting hurt. I'm not a truther that thinks that this is not a problem. And a place I really like to read about the mechanics of this is Catherine Watt at bailiwick.substack.com. And she links to other people like conspiracysarah.substack.com. They're reading the Gazette that has all the laws. And the most powerful person in the United States, I believe, is Xavier Becerra, who is the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And they're busy amending the PREP Act. They're busy changing it and bolstering it, making it more powerful. And they're widening it. And all this is actually happening while everyone is watching Joe Biden fall down. Joe Biden has nothing to do right now with who's running the place. So these ladies are working quietly without fanfare talking about this. And it is fascinating what they are building with all the different laws and amendments. And that's real. I think that's real. Anyway, that's the plan. So thanks again for John the Bond calling in and Uncle V. And if you like this show, it's value for value, fakeologist.com/donate. Really appreciate everyone coming out. And tomorrow is, what day is it tomorrow? Wednesday. That means Fake Nuke Phils will probably be on. And he'll talk about Media Fakery and 9/11. And Phil Jahan, we're going to book him soon from Let's Troll Forum. So we will talk about that as well, because it's also important. Take care. Have a good night.